The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Travel Like an Influencer. Globetrotting gurus reveal their favorite destinations around the world. Kelly Edwards, Nathan Llewellyn and Jessica Nabongo are adventurers in every sense of the word. They embody a spirit of freedom, courageously living by a compass. These intrepid wanderers are also social media influencers for whom no corner of the globe is too remote, whose posts from across the planet inspire others to lead more daring lives. But of the innumerable trips these travel pros have taken, which destination truly makes their soul sing? Jessica Nabongo. There are so many beautiful and energizing places in the world. Why choose one? I have been to Cuba 5 times. It is a place that I fell in love with in 2016. After my very first trip to Cuba, I returned 3 times within 18 months. What stands out to me is the people. They are full of joy and have a welcoming energy. And there's an indescribable energy I feel when I'm in Bahia, a state of Brazil. Morro de São Paulo, just south of Bahia, is an island where no cars are allowed. It's also super hilly, so when trekking the island, be prepared for a workout. There's freedom from capitalism there, so you're just living a simple life. Dakar is the capital of Senegal and is only 8 hours from New York City. I'm not sure people know that. Dakar is where I just go to relax and not think about an itinerary. Kelly Edwards, as a pilot and avid explorer by land, air, and sea, I find that Alaska is a rare destination that remains widely untouched and unknown by tourists. Because of its vastness, there is an array of experiences to be had in every season, whether it's hiking trails in the spring, whale watching during summer, seeing the northern lights in the fall, or dog sledding in the winter. You can connect with nature in the most intimate of ways. Alaska is majestic, picturesque, and awe-inspiring as they come, making it a journey you'll never forget. Nathan Llewellyn. For those seeking an unforgettable adventure, I cannot recommend South Africa enough. As a seasoned traveler, I explored numerous regions of this country, and I can attest that each offers an astonishing yet unique experience. Johannesburg, the vibrant city of gold, is a melting pot of cultures. You'll encounter people from all over the continent and world. Cape Town boasts breathtaking scenery, with Table Mountain serving as a stunning backdrop. My personal favorite is KwaZulu-Natal, home to the Zulus and Durban's King Shaka Zulu International Airport. Durban has a rugged charm. Its Indian Ocean coastline is awe-inspiring, with warm waters and great surfing waves. The next article is titled, It's a Family Affair. Family reunions hold profound historical significance for our people, and it's imperative that we continue this time honored tradition.
Our culture is an intricate web of deeply beautiful rituals born of a historical need for resiliency. I was reminded of this truth last summer when I stumbled upon a 30-year-old home video. Watching the grainy sepia footage, cousins popping on and off the screen in matching sweatsuits, aunts of various generations with broad smiles stretched across their faces, I couldn't help but wonder about the origins of this reunion tradition. The home video from my family's 1993 gathering in Atlanta left me with so many questions about this cultural practice. When it started, how it was changed through time, its personal importance to Black folks. Many of us have felt the warm, goose-bumpy feeling that can come from sharing meal with extended family or doing the electric slide together in a park, yet we were never taught about the roots of these gatherings. Black folks' desire to come together as a family was born of often painful realities, as were our music, our food, and so many other aspects of our culture, but it has blossomed into a meaningful tradition that has been our unifying force for more than a century. Black family reunions have complex roots, but most agree that three primary historical events led to the fish frying, barbecuing celebrations we know today. Complete with commemorative t-shirts. The first of these was Emancipation, which unfolded in various ways across the country, leaving our ancestors desperate to reunite with family members from whom they'd been cruelly separated for years. The late 1860s marked the first time in U.S. history that Black folks had an agency to mend their familial relationships and reconnect with their sorely missed mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, and other loved ones. Tamisha Rood Ridge, the co-founder and CEO of Kind of, a digital family history platform, points out that tracking down family members in the post-emancipation period was no easy feat. Names and ages were often changed or incorrectly recorded, but this didn't stop folks from trying to reunite. They took out lost friends or information wanted ads in newspapers, and with the help of many different people, as well as the Freedmen's Bureau, they searched for family, she explains. While we don't know the exact number of people who were located as a result of these ads or what their homecomings looked like, historical records underscore that the idea of family reunions was important. Over time, these gatherings, born of necessity and loss, started to take on their own cultural significance, and new practices and traditions developed, with many Black families coming together to honor the bonds of kinship every year. The second historical event that inspired Black families to plan regular reunions was the Great Migration, which spanned much of the 20th century, during which Black people moved away from the South in record numbers, heading north or west to escape racial violence and seek better opportunities. With families once again separated, the era sparked another wave of desire for folks to reconnect not just with each other, but with their original physical and emotional homes. The Great Migration marked the first time Black families were scattered across the country by choice. Andrea Roberts, Ph.D.,
an associate professor of urban and environmental planning at the University of Virginia and the founder of the Texas Freedom Colonies Project, points out that some relatives had been gone since the 1920s to California, the Carolinas, Philadelphia, and Harlem. Reunions and homecomings were a way to call people back. Generations of family members who had left home in search of a better life came to rely on these annual celebrations as a much needed chance to spend time with their parents, siblings, cousins, and grandparents, eating as a family, playing games, and worshiping together became a lifeline reconnecting them to their roots. These early reunions centered on rituals like church services and family dinner, but they offered kinfolk the rare chance to discuss serious matters in person as well. Because these reunions didn't occur often, it was imperative that a wide range of topics and concerns be addressed during the family's sacred time together. The gatherings from the mid-20th century on were a way to ensure that loved ones didn't lose touch, and as a way to bond despite living far apart for most of the year, the generations created fun and unique practices such as family games and storytelling rituals that would draw them closer together. By the 1970s, it was common for people to grow up in one place, go to college in another, then settle in yet another city far from home. While family reunions weren't novel by this point, they began to take on a new cultural significance when Alex Haley's transformational series, Roots, based on his novel of the same name, premiered on ABC in 1977. It sparked a fervent desire in Black folks to discover and share their familial lineage. As Rudd Ridge, whose own platform helps Black people to unearth, document, and preserve our unique family stories, explains, Roots coming out led people using the National Archives for the first time. And since then, Black people have led the family history industry. I think the t-shirts and cookouts and all that started in the Roots era. Large family gatherings in parks and community spaces like the one I watched my own family enjoying on the home video grew in popularity and became cemented in our culture. In 1986, the late civil rights activist and president emeritus of the National Council of Negro Women, Dorothy Height, Ph.D., founded the Black Family Reunion, an organization focused on reminding everyone how strong and resilient the Black family has always been. When she saw a nationally televised news special that was a disparaging portrayal of Black life in the U.S., Height was moved to prove just how rich, deep, and important family was to Black folks. She began hosting annual events across the country in cities like Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and Cincinnati that not only brought local families together, but also allowed local businesses and civic leaders to share the same space. Like individual family gatherings, those hosted by the Black Family Reunion consisted of activities spread across several days, but they also drew thousands of local and national attendees. The Black Family Reunion was established so that Black families could come together at this event annually and connect with other Black families in hopes that we would make our community stronger, explains Executive Director Tracy Farley artists. While the organization has changed somewhat since its inception more than 30 years ago, currently there is only one annual event put on each August by Farley artist and her team in Cincinnati. Its mission has remained the same. After nearly 30 years of planning her own family reunions and working for the Black Family Reunion, Farley artist believes more than ever that it's important for us to hold on to this tradition. To remind us that we do matter, families are important. That's your foundation. And while it's been more than 50 years since Roots premiered, she asserts that these types of beloved gatherings are still necessary because in an era of many social media platforms, they give us a chance to bond with our loved ones in person without a screen. Roberts, whose forthcoming book, Never Sell the Land, Place Persistence as Resistance, explores the various communities created by Black folks, observes that it's during our annual reunions that we have the chance to strengthen offline familial connections and the opportunity to bridge intergenerational divides. Reunions really force a closeness you don't have at, say, Thanksgiving, she says. We all know during some of these smaller dinners, you can divide people into groups by age. At the family reunion, however, the program of events ensures that everybody is in the mix, engaging in ritual activities together. As I watched my family reunion tapes, what I remembered most was the experience of nearly 20 of us, ranging in age of 4 to 60, traveling from Boston to Atlanta together by van. 4-5 days, we were intertwined, toddlers and grandparents, sharing stories in space, soaking up generations of knowledge and family history, holding on to the history that seeps out when stories or photos are swapped during a reunion is as crucial as the actual getting together. For centuries during slavery, we didn't have the opportunity to unite. So when we gather now, we should do it with intention and care. We have a real privilege of being able to get on the phone or get on Facebook and say, hey, y'all, let's get together, says archivist and founder of Archival Alchemy, Joyce Leanne Joseph, who helps individuals and families preserve their legacy. The moments we share are precious and fleeting, and are not promised. And so, when you do have those opportunities, make sure to make the most of them. Recording family history can be as simple as writing down specific stories, digitizing photos, going through albums, and identifying the people pictured, or recording older family members on film or audio. Archiving this material provides evidence of existence and creates connections for current and future generations. In an age when technology allows us to peek instantly into the life of a family member who may live across the country or around the globe, it can be tempting to believe that there is no longer a need for annual or biannual in-person gatherings. But there is a certain kind of magic that happens when a family reunites that can't be replicated by double tapping a photo or even talking on a Zoom call. It's why, for nearly two centuries, our people have found new and innovative ways to stay connected. Documentary filmmaker Kyra Knox is a case in point. I'm always flying here and there, and I don't get to see my family as much as I would like to, she says. I'm interested in being part of the planning for a large family reunion, but we've also started doing small stuff where the cousins will come together every few months and have breakfast at one of our houses. It's like a mini family reunion. Whether a gathering brings together 10 people or 100, it's crucial that we find our way to stay close to our kinfolk and remember our history. If you make a point of intentionally reuniting the generations on a regular basis, you won't find yourself watching a home video or your family's last get-together 30 years ago and wondering where the time went. But even if that happens, it's never too late to reach out to loved ones and make a new reunion plan. The next article is titled, Everything You Need to Know to Stay Safe on Your Next Girls Trip. With news of group trips gone bad, here are things to consider when planning your next vacation so you'll have fun and return home safe, sound, and restored. Everyone is heading back outside in a post-pandemic world, and vacations are being booked faster than you can say group trip. But while traveling with others can be a great way to save money and create unforgettable memories, it's important to consider how to stay unharmed in paradise. 5 years ago, I was on the trip of a lifetime, celebrating a friend's milestone birthday abroad. It's a running joke now about how I was wheelchaired back to America, but I'm grateful for my squad who stuck with me in an Indonesian airport, and I've never forgotten how, but for them looking out for me, I might not have made it back safely. During the first half of this year alone, headlines have announced frightening stories of murder, cartel kidnappings, and mayhem befalling Black travelers abroad. Shanquella Robinson was just trying to go on a great vacation in Mexico, yet she ended up dead. Shaeed Woodard and Zendel Brown were just accompanying their friends on a road trip across the southern border when they were fatally caught in cartel crossfire. And while visiting sick relatives in Haiti, Jean Dickens Toussaint and Abigail Michelle Toussaint were kidnapped by a gang hoping to negotiate a ransom. Mercifully, they were later freed. Given such cautionary tales, we want to help you make sure your next trip is both fun and safe. Here are a few things to consider before jetting off on your adventure with your own squad. Share your location with a family member or trusted friend. If your phone doesn't have that capability, you can share your location via Facebook Messenger. Make sure that whoever you're sharing it with is not on the trip with you. Pack a portable carbon monoxide detector. Not all countries require that hotels have them. This odorless gas can prove deadly, and you can't smell it or see it, so this little gadget could save your life. Check in with the State Department for the latest updates on your destination. Head over to travel.state.gov for any travel advisories before your departure date. Also, register your trip to ensure you receive alerts and can be located in the event of an emergency. Have a backup fund. If things go south, you want to make sure you can take care of yourself, whether that means finding new accommodations or buying an earlier ticket home. Trust your gut and get out if anything feels wrong. Buckle up, wear a helmet, and use a life jacket. Drowning
and traffic accidents are among the most common causes of tourism-related deaths. Take safety precautions and avoid problems that are preventable just as you would at home. And it is obviously goes without saying, don't drink and drive. Make sure your companions know about any major medical conditions within the group. If anyone has serious allergies, do you know where they keep their EpiPen? If a medical malady comes up, you want to be able to provide the EMTs with all relevant information. The next article is titled, Noshing in NOLA. While visitors can easily get lost in the sights and sounds of New Orleans' French Quarter, there's plenty to see and eat outside of the city's most storied neighborhood. Very few places in the world can compete with festive atmosphere of New Orleans. The energy felt across the city is hard to describe to people who have never been. When someone tries to explain it, the conversation likely turns to having an unforgettable experience in the French Quarter, drinking too many hand grenades and dancing to a random brass band playing on a street corner. One thing is for sure, there's always talk about great food. While a trip to the city is often considered complete only if it includes a visit to this historic district, it is important to note that with some of the best food can actually be found outside the quarter. As you make your way to NOLA for this year's Essence Festival of Culture presented by Coca-Cola, here are a few restaurants to try in the surrounding areas that will ensure you experience the best of the Big Easy beyond the French Quarter. Jamaican Jerk House. The Ride to Jamaica Jerk House will take you through vibrant neighborhoods including Faubourg Marigny and the Bywater, which contain some of the city's most colorful homes and street art. Once inside, order the oxtails, the meat falls off the bones, with a side of Caribbean mac and cheese. Vegans can eat here too. The Jerk Impossible Burger quickly sells out because meat eaters love it as well. D's Exquisite Seafood. The feeling of euphoria you get from one bite of D's exquisite seafood is enough to keep you returning to this restaurant time and time again. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.